Hello, thank you everyone for sticking around for the bottom of the order here at this session. My name is Matt Lane. I'm a master's student at Ohio State University in the School of Environment and Natural Resources. And today I'll be talking about the effect of glyphosate on soil microbial community structure and potassium dynamics. So if we start at the very beginning, what is glyphosate? Glyphosate, you may know it better by the trade name Roundup. There's the chemical composition. It's the best-selling herbicide in the world, most widely used. The use of glyphosate has really taken off in the past 15 years since the introduction of transgenic crops. We talk about genetically modified crops. Usually we're talking about Roundup Ready soybeans. See on this graph the increase of hectares worldwide of transgenic crops, and 80% of transgenic crops are glyphosate resistant. Here's just a map of glyphosate use in the United States. You can see where it's most heavily used. And glyphosate works as a competitive inhibitor in plants to an amino acid, or to the amino acid production. So a very small amount of glyphosate actually gets applied to fields, about 1.5 pounds of glyphosate acid per acre, or 1.7 kilograms per hectare, talking less than a part per million. But if you think that's a small amount, it is enough to kill all the non-genetically modified plants in the field. But when glyphosate came out, it was thought to be relatively environmentally friendly. It has a phosphate group. It absorbs the soil. It's used in conjunction with some other environmentally friendly techniques like no-till. And initial studies showed a transitory effect on microbial communities. But 10 years later, there have been some reports, observations from producers around the world of possible problems in places where they've used glyphosate over time. There have been reports of some micronutrient deficiencies. There have been reports of yield decreases with Roundup Ready crops. Perhaps there's been an increase in the soil-borne pathogen Fusarium. And the impetus for this project was some corn and soybean rotation growers here in the Midwest. We're noticing a decrease in potassium in their corn, a potassium deficiency in their corn that they were growing in rotation with Roundup Ready soybeans. So the overall working hypothesis for this project is perhaps the adoption of glyphosate-tolerant crops and the increase of glyphosate use has caused a shift in soil microbial communities, possibly an increase in soil fungi. These soil fungi, branching organisms, have the ability to rapidly uptake and hold potassium in their biomass. And perhaps that is what's outcompeting the plants for potassium in the soil. So the long-term application of glyphosate shifted the microbial communities and caused potassium deficiency in corn grown in rotation with Roundup Ready soybeans. There is some support for this in the literature if you just link things together. Roundup Ready soybeans do concentrate Roundup in the roots and exude Roundup from the roots. Glyphosate has been shown in vitro to stimulate fungi, and fungi can rapidly uptake potassium and hold it in their biomass. So for the first experiment, this is just a short-term incubation. Want to take small amounts of soil, add glyphosate to it, and see if I could observe a change in microbial respiration. So we went out looking for one soil in particular. We were looking for a soil that's in row crop production that had never had glyphosate applied to it. And this ended up being a little bit of a challenge. So we found three farms here, and these are all in Delaware County, Ohio. One is an organic farm that had never had glyphosate applied. The second is what we would consider a medium application of glyphosate. This farm grows corn in rotation with non-Roundup Ready soybeans or conventional soybeans. So they apply glyphosate to their fields maybe once a year in the spring for a burn down. And the third is a conventional no-till Roundup Ready soybean farm where they apply glyphosate to their beans up to 3 times a year. And these are all from complementary soils out of a similar soil series. For this method, we just take a very small amount of soil, put it in a mason jar, seal it up, standardize the moisture, and add varying amounts of glyphosate to it, and observe the amount of respiration. The rates of glyphosate were half the field application rate, 1, 2, and 3 times, 3 lab reps. These figures represent, this is the GMO, the Roundup Ready field. This is overall carbon. These aren't rates, this is overall. Compared to the control soil, the control soil would be the x-axis, or the zero line. So this is the half, the black line is the half, red line is 1 times, blue 2 times, green's 3 times. It actually worked out that relatively, they stack up, the more glyphosate they apply, the higher the respiration rate. You're adding a carbon and a nitrogen source with the glyphosate, and the microbes use that as food and respire more. If we look at a general linear model, repeated measure ANOVA, looking at those dates, there's a significant effect when we add glyphosate at the 1 times level. If we look at the Tukey's grouping, 1 and 2 groups out from the control and half, and 3 times is a separate group by itself. You could have done it, which is compare against the control. The 1, 2, and 3 are significantly higher respiration than the control. So taking that adding 1 and 2 times the field right application of glyphosate to soil does increase the respiration. We wanted to look at the microbial communities then. And the goal of this experiment was to basically do a longer term incubation. I'm talking longer term, it's not 60 years, it's just 6 months. We take the soil and repeatedly add glyphosate to it once a month over 6 months. And the hypothesis was that the addition of this glyphosate would cause a change in the microbial community, and that the microbial potassium, the amount of potassium held in the microbial biomass, would change, possibly increase with the addition of glyphosate. So these soils were incubated, or this is in progress. So far they've been incubated for 2.5 months. So with the application rates, the control, the 1 times and the 2 times, the applications repeated monthly, and they've been sampled at 15 days, 1 month and 2 months at this point, and this experiment will continue for 6 months. And what we're measuring here is a ELFame, a fatty acid extraction, microbial potassium, which is a fumigation extraction technique, and DNA probe for fusarium. We're just setting aside the soil right now and freezing it, and possibly go back if we see changes to do a DNA probe there. So if we look right now through 2 months, this is a principal component analysis of the fatty acid data. This is 45 fatty acids that we've gone to extract from the soil. The different colors here, this is the non-GMO managed soil, the organically managed soil is red, and green's the GMO, or the Roundup Ready managed soil. It's not surprising, if you look at the fatty acid breakdowns, things group pretty heavily by soil. And what we'd be looking for is over time, perhaps these groups, these clusters would move together or move towards this genetically modified, or the Roundup Ready managed soil, where we have more heavy glyphosate use. As we add glyphosate to this organic soil, perhaps this cluster and this cluster will grow closer together. We're not really seeing that at day 60. These clusters are still pretty heavy by management. But what we are seeing down here is this organic cluster. What this figure doesn't show is down here, this little group are the 3 reps that have received 2 times glyphosate application, and one of them that's received 1 time glyphosate application. They're starting to pull away from the organic incubation that's receiving less glyphosate. So if we drill in a little heavier on this, we can actually look at the fatty acids themselves, which fatty acids are varying significantly. So if out of the 45 fatty acids we're looking at, six of them are varying significantly if we look at a repeated measures ANOVA. So these are the six, and four of these are actually biomarkers. These are fatty acids that are specific to this group of microbes. So with the addition of glyphosate, we're seeing changes in Brassica mycorrhiza, actinomycetes, gram-negative bacteria, and protozoa. This is only through 2 months. We can drill in a little further, and here, this is the organically managed soil, and this is over time, and this is the micromoles of this 19-0-cyclo omega-8C, which is a gram-negative bacterial marker. As we add the glyphosate, if we added it at 2x level, we're actually seeing an increase here in this 19-cyclo omega-8C. And this graph over here represents all three managements, the GMO, the organic, and the non-GMO. The red line is the same in both figures. So you can see an increase in this fatty acid for both the GMO and the organic managed soil that we're not seeing in the non-GMO managed soil. And this is the second fatty acid where we see a similar pattern. If this glyphosate, where we've added a 2x application rate, we're seeing an increase here at day 60 in this 16-0-10 methyl, which is an actinomycete biomarker. Again, we're seeing that increase in both the organic and the Roundup Ready treated soil, but not in the soil where Roundup Ready beans are not grown. So it'll be interesting over time if when we take this out to 6 months, we have four more applications of glyphosate here, four more sampling times to see if these trends continue. And so the final thing, we also want to talk about potassium. It was in the title, so I guess I should mention it. But if we look at the microbial potassium, it's the fumigation extraction technique. If we look at a general linear model again, repeated measures, there's no significant effect on the amount of glyphosate we apply to the soil on the amount of microbial potassium. Again, this particular result's only after 30 days. This only has the two sampling points at day 15 and day 30. Perhaps with a longer incubation, take those data points out. Maybe there'll be different results, but at this point, we don't see any difference in the microbial potassium. So in conclusion, from that short-term incubation experiment we did to start, we do see an increase in microbial respiration that's proportional to the amount of glyphosate we add to the soil. And in the long-term incubation project, we're seeing a grouping using principal component analysis of fatty acid results based on soil type. And some fatty acids are changing. Especially in the organic soil. So it'll be interesting to see what trends continue as we look at that in the future. Right now, we're not seeing any strong evidence that the microbial potassium is affected by the addition of glyphosate. However, there are 4 months to go, so we'll keep going with that. Four more glyphosate applications. And I also did want to mention that we are also doing a greenhouse study. We're growing Roundup Ready soybeans, applying glyphosate to beans themselves, collecting soil from the rhizosphere, and seeing if the plant itself has some sort of role in this phenomenon. And with that, I'd like to conclude and open up to questions. Correct.
Do you see a difference when you fumigate? Leaving the glyphosate, leaving the glyphosate question out of it, but is there actually a threshold?
Sure. The question is with the microbial potassium, whether or not that's just a traditional fumigation extraction, correct. We take a control soil and don't fumigate it, and another soil that we fumigate in chloroform and extract potassium from that with an ammonium acetate. And we do see a difference.
Really?
Yes.
There'd probably be so much potassium in the control soil that you never see a significant difference. But that's not true.
No, we do see a difference. Glyphosate carbon effect from the note.
Do you add glyphosate to get more respiration? And is it, and you're getting these interesting changes in the microbial community. Is it something about the glyphosate molecule, or it would be nice to, I don't want to make more work for you, but to add a glucose control. You would have a reference glyphosate levels and then glucose levels to see if it's something specific about glyphosate, or is it just that it's repeating adding a label to carbon cells?
Okay, so if I understand what you're saying, it would be interesting to add a glucose and a glyphosate to see if it's just the carbon source itself or if it's something unique to the glyphosate molecule.
Right, maybe that's do you think that's a ridiculous idea? I mean, is it clearly something about glyphosate, or could it be just something more generic?
It could be something more generic. That's a possibility.
Are you using chemically pure glyphosate? Or are you using formulation?
This is a formulation. It actually is a potassium salt.
The formulation contains at least 60% other compounds than glyphosate. A lot of them are very severe disruptors of membrane integrity and all.
Sure. They're
so some of the things that you may be saying you're feeding glyphosate is actually due to the formulation, especially if you're doing more than I've gone through this, but I've also used any other, and it could play havoc on the different components of the community.
Yes, the comment was that when it said glyphosate, I'm not talking necessarily chemically pure glyphosate acid. There's a component,
and also be specific of the brand.
Yes, and this is a PowerMax. Monsanto Power Max glyphosate that was used for this research. It's a potassium salt. And you're right, there are surfactants and other things in, it's not just the active ingredient, glyphosate. And I guess my term glyphosate in the presentation is more of a generic term, including all the formulations.
Okay, thanks. Let's thank all the speakers.